I would like to thank you, Microsoft Austria, for inviting me. For me personally, it's very special. I'm living 25 years in North America, but I was born in Bratislava. So for me, it's like almost like a homecoming here. So I hope you will learn something in my presentations. So yeah, I'm working Microsoft almost 16 years. Before that, I was developing database engines for IBM DB2 engines for many years. So I'm basically all my career working on database engines. And in Microsoft, I started an engine query optimizer, query processor, 7.0. That was my first big release. Actually, in 6.5, I was a program manager for failover. It was the first failover demo for Bill Gates. And that through the engine, I had different roles. Last year, I was helping the Azure team, and I will kind of tell the story, which, you know, how the engine team, how we are working. And I was also working in Mark Sousa's team for several years, helping customers to adopt SQL Server. So today, I will be talking about performance and scalability improvements or features, as we call it, in our 2012 engine. So you've seen this slide already today in the morning, but it's a little bit different. Why? Because there's some red. Oh, it doesn't come very well, but yeah, the red are important features, the features which I will be talking about. And some are, I consider, more important, some less, or some bigger impact, lesser impact, but it always is depends on the customers. For somebody, this is the most important, what is not so important for somebody else. So those are the four features which I will be talking about, the red ones, and also I will be spending approximately time as the size of the you know, as the size of the font for the, I will spend most of the time on the column store index. And I will have only one slide on this online operations enhancement. And the column store index, from the engine point of view, and that's my kind of view of the world, I consider the most important feature together with Always On in SQL 2012. Why? Because of the impact and the ease of use, and I will show the demo, and I will talk more about the column store index. So here is the agenda, and before I dive into those four features, I will tell you a little bit about the engine team and SQL Server and what is happening there in our world. Then those four features, and then there is some a little bit secret at the end about Windows 8 Server and what there will come next year. So as you know, maybe we in development, we are kind of a little bit ahead of the curve. Now I'm talking about what I finished working half year or a year ago. So this features in 2012 as the cycle goes. So let's look about the SQL Server engine team. If you ask SQL Server developer, what is ABC? Everybody knows what it is, and I will now tell you the small secret what it is. So this year, 2011, was huge year for us in SQL Server development, because before that we had this SQL Azure, and the development started several years ago, and they basically took a snapshot of the engine code on the side and were doing development, special things for the Azure. And we had the core engine for the Box product which you have. And we are also feeding the appliance, the parallel data warehouse appliance. This year, we spend considerable effort to put all these code bases together for on the engine side. So we have now one single code base, which has different surfaces. But as this fantastically improves and optimizes the development process, because I develop it once, and I can surface it suddenly in all three environments or only on two if it makes sense. So this is for us was a big year of the we call the code merge. and where the ABC comes from. So the Parallel Data Warehouse, it's one of the appliances which we have, so it's for A. The box is the classic SQL server which you buy and install in your data centers, and cloud is the SQL Azure. And I will talk more about the cloud in my second presentation, which we will have after the break. So this is how our engine looks like, and it's very good engine, and it's really good engine, and you will see why. So let's dive into this online operations in SQL Server 2012. So you may say, hey, I told that I will be talking about performance and scalability, and this is online operations, how it kind of goes together. And it does, because any operation which I will do online means it doesn't block other operations. You are getting throughput, you get more queries through, more work through the engine. So if I look from that perspective, these online operations are very important for availability of the data and overall throughput. And we have some history, because first a major operation which we supported online was online create index in 2005. And basically every release we look where are the kind of highest priority requirements coming, and we address them in that order based on how much investment we are doing in which area. So in 2012, we adding a non-null column with default value. So how it works in previous releases? In previous releases, if you add a column with default null, it's very fast because, well, there is no data anywhere, so it's adding with null. But when we were adding with default value, which was not null, we scan and update whole table row by row and add that value into each row, the default value, because initially there are no other, only the default values. As the process, we are using pages and rows in pages, and suddenly every row is somewhat longer, the pages don't fit in the row, the rows don't fit into the page. We need to, we call it split the page into two pages, move half of the rows. Very, very expensive operation. It takes a long time. And because I'm changing schema of the table, basically, we block all access to the table during whole time of performing this operation, adding a not null column. And we, especially from our ISVs who are developing products on top of SQL Server, for them, when they issue new releases, adding a new column is very often part of their upgrade. Yes, because they are adding new functionality, they need new data, they are adding a column. So therefore, we took care of this in the SQL Server 2012. The adding not null column takes exactly the same time as adding not nullable column. It comes back to you immediately. We remember it in the metadata. Oh, this is the value. And following inserts, we start inserting that value, either default or new value if you give to that column to the table. The operation itself, the alter table operation is very fast. So this is one of the improvements. Second one, I mentioned that already in SQL 2005, we allow you to say create index online, but there was exception. If the table contained this what we call blobs, these large objects, varchar, nvarchar objects, that was exception. We didn't allow you to create indexes online if that index contains that column. Now, you have to be careful, because index is a key and optional include other columns. This kind of data types we don't allow to be the key, but we do allow them to be either additional columns in that index, which we call included column, or if you are creating clustered index, when basically you are indexing whole table. So if any of those columns was of this data type, we didn't allow you to do it online. And now we remove that. We have removed that restriction. And now you can ask, okay, so you choose these two. There are many other operations which we are not doing still online. And there is a way how you as a users can influence us. And there is so-called Connect website through which you can issue request for SQL Server group, and we are basically weekly reviewing all those requests. We are ordering them, we are counting how many people are asking for what, and this is also one of the inputs which we are using when we are deciding what to do next release. So this was one of the also highly asked for features for online indexes. And on the side, I will add here that we support also, so the online operations in general are supported in the enterprise version of SQL Server. What is interesting, in SQL Azure, we have there like two versions of database, business and the other one. On SQL Azure, we always support the online on all editions which we have there. It's kind of a comment on the side. So this is all about the online operations, and you know, we are working forward, and I have already on my list several for the next release, which will come hopefully into our attention. So the second thing, support for 15,000 partitions. Now, we introduced partitioning SQL Server, table and index partitioning in SQL Server 2005. And we support in 2005 only 1,000 partitions. Why? When you are working with partition objects, the number of partitions make a difference for efficiency. I will give you a couple of examples. One thing is that for us, 15,000, like 1,000 partitions, it is logical, kind of the partition is logical for the engine. At certain level of the engine, which we call storage engine, the lower part, that sees as 1,000 different tables, as physically it's 1,000 different tables. So when I'm opening, for example, the table, we need to, on the lowest level, open 1,000 these physical objects. When I am scanning and accessing, I have to access those 1,000 objects. And makes a big difference if I am opening 1,000 or 10,000. And for example, for each one, I need some memory to remember the, to know the metadata of the physical object. So therefore, rather than rushing to say, hey, we support large number of partitions, and you would be encountering very bad performance as you go up with the number of partitions, we are kind of going more carefully forward. And it took us a while, from 2005, basically 2012, to go to 15,000 partitions. So when I'm talking about partitioning, and as I mentioned, we have it in 2005, we understand very well what is the most kind of popular scenario, and I will kind of describe the scenario. This is not new 2012. This is how we see and observe most use cases of partitioning. And we call it sliding window scenario. Why? Because you have several partitions of the data, and you be partitioned by time. So here I'm partitioning by months, and I'm showing here February, March, and April three data. So the black part is what I have occupied by data. The blue parts are empty partitions. So usually people have more than 3 months, and I will have more examples. But here, for simplicity, I'm showing with 3 months how the sliding window scenario works. So now comes this is my decision support data and I'm next month finished, and I'm preparing to load the next month. So I do things. First, I will prepare the partition. It's still empty, and at the same time, or in any order, I can do these two operations. I load the data into separate table, and I create all the indexes as are on these big partition tables, plus I create a constraint on the table which ensures that all the data for the key, which is used for partitioning, in this case it's some date column, that all the data in that new table fits into the new partition 5. So observe that while I'm doing this operation, this is table on outside, so, and the splitting and creating new empty partition is extremely fast operations, only metadata operations, so I'm maintaining full availability of that big partition table. And now I'm performing one operation, which we call switch. Switch partitions, so basically I had this big partition table and the small one with a new partition, and we only change the pointers on the lowest level, therefore this operation is very fast, and doesn't matter how big this partition is, it is in milliseconds finished. And what is good about it also, you can test and create these procedures on empty sets, and it will take the same time and be the same fast as once you have data in. So you brought the new months in. And similarly, on the other end, we take the last months out. So we switch it out, then the partition becomes empty, and we remove that partition. And this is how we are sliding forward. So this is typical data warehousing scenario which we see with many of our customers, and they have huge tables here to perform these operations. And this partitioning and ability to switch in, switch out enables to work very efficiently with large volumes of data on your machines. Okay, so this is the scenario. Now, if I look, and we supported, as I mentioned, 1,000 partitions. If you were partitioning every hour, then you could have 1 month of the data, about 700 plus partitions. As you couldn't have 2 months of data with 1 hour partitions. If you partition every day, you could have 2 years, which is about 700 plus days. Yeah? So why we chose these 15,000 partitions? Because we were working with specific customers and they came, hey, you know, I need 7 years of data every day because of some regulations. I need so many every hour. I need so many every week. And now with 15,000 partitions, if you partition every hour, you can have a whole year of data. What it means, every hour you can bring new data into your table. So your data will never be more stale than 1 hour. And for every day, if you partition, you can have it 40 years. So this is how we end up with 15,000 partitions. We were trying more and different numbers. Now, we had some customers for whom this was such important feature that they asked us, we cannot wait for 2012. Give it to us earlier. So what we did is we backported the change into 2008 SP2 and 2008 R2 SP1 releases. So that is available, this also there. But there is a little bit difference. We had limited resources for this backporting, so we were working with the specific customers. And you need this feature? Yes, we do. You don't need. And so we went through the whole list. And therefore, in 2008, for example, database mirroring, log shipping, these features, if you have this more than 1,000 partitions, you cannot have, you cannot use those features. As well as in 2008, you have to run special store procedure to enable this feature. So by default, you cannot do it, but then once you enable it, then you can use more than partitions. And so obviously in 2012, we fill it all, we did it all kind of orthogonal, the features, and everything is supported. And we also did more query performance improvement. And we are working a little bit different with statistics more efficiently. And what is also very interesting change, I will explain this starvation of partition switches to the schema stability logs. So this is very interesting change, and we got some reports from some customers who had a problem, and I will explain the problem. But actually, the request for that change came not from the customers, but from our support organization. So this is a kind of interesting fact that every feature which we design and work on the engine goes through approval of our support organization, of our the people you call with your problems, if you have any, ever, with SQL. So we are working with them, and they review every single feature which goes to next release. And actually also they are one of our customers who are asking for some features. And with this, they came, there is this kind of problem or feature which was there in partitioning, and I will explain it. So if you perform the switch partition, as I'm, explain how it is done, this is very fast operation, but I need for that very short time, I need this schema stability log, because I'm changing schema of the table. And when I require that log, then nobody can be touching the table because, he may see wrong data or not see the data, because I'm kind of changing something about the table. So we don't want to allow anybody touching the table for that moment when I am performing the switch. Now, we have this hint, which is extremely popular, which is called no-log hint. No-log hint people are using when they are accessing tables, and they say, I don't want to wait for any logs. I don't care if I sometimes get it not completely consistent data. I never seen it. Use no-log hint, and that query is not blocked on anything. But that kind of query is not blocked by when I'm requiring this stability log. So I come, I want to do switch. There are several queries running on the table, so I have to wait. But in meanwhile, coming other queries with this no log hint, which kind of get under me. And even I say, hey, this operation is very fast. For some customers, it never finished because simply their workload was so intense that they never finished. And this is what we call starvation of partition switch. So when our support organization reviewed the change, they say, hey, now they can have, instead of every day, they will have every hour partition, and they will be doing the switches much more frequently, yes? So we will have more customers having this problem. So if you don't fix it or do something about it, we will not sign off on that feature. And if support doesn't sign off for the feature, we cannot ship the feature. So we looked at it and kind of were thinking a lot about it and looking at different options. So now what we did, that now this, when you perform switch, it will block those queries, block all queries. Now I'm only afraid that now some customers with, you cannot block our queries, are more important, we can, So we have a trace flag which to turn it off, but you have to call the support organization for that trace flag. So this is happening every time. So this is the starvation and lock. This is kind of interesting thing. So now, interesting thing is in what is not supported. You cannot create more than 1,000 partitions on 32-bit, if you're running on 32-bit Windows. I kind of like it. This is kind of, hey, this is our future. Our future, not so long now, from now, everything will be 64-bit. And I'm expecting that we will start attacking 128 bits. That's, will come next. We always like to have two challenges. So, and this is kind of a good example. And simply look at it this way. More than 1,000 partitions, you have to have enterprise version anyway. Look what people are running the enterprise versions on, and why I need to spend the same amount of effort testing every single 32-bit when I know that 99% of users are using 64-bit or 100% will be using soon. So this is that kind of decision. And non-aligned indexes, so our default indexes on partition tables are align indexes. Align index means a partition table, and the index is partitioned the same way, means all the index entries from the partition point to that rows in the same partition. And actually, the sliding window scenario, you must have all indexes kind of aligned. And we observe that very, very few people are using non-aligned indexes at all. And for these more than 1,000 partitions, we decided we will not kind of support non-aligned indexes. So you have to have indexes aligned. So I don't expect much of problem from the restriction. Okay, so this is our 15,000 partitions in SQL Server 2012. Now, let's look a little bit at full text search. You have heard today already a little bit that there is some semantic search, and I will explain you a little bit more what it is about. Even the semantic search is the second bullet. Even I will not talk about it anymore only on this slide, but I will explain you how it works because it's very cool. So first, we built a dictionary of all the words for particular language, and we support several languages for semantic search. We take the whole world of all documents, and we look at those, and we look at the frequency of the words. And the less frequent words are more important words, yes, because And more frequent words are kind of words which I use very frequently. Now I create a dictionary like that. And now I look at any document you give me, and I look at the words in the document. And the words which are more frequent in the document compared to the overall number than in like whole world of words, those are more important for the document, and they characterize the document, the special word. And if you use a special word several times, that is kind of more significant for the document. And this way, we kind of look at the document and say, hey, you know, it's using kind of these words, which are not very frequent otherwise, but are much more proportionally frequent for the document. We look at those top 100 of those words for the document, and we say, hey, these words are characterizing the document. And actually, we look at the relative frequency and compare it with whole world of frequencies, and the bigger difference, the more significant the word is. And then what we can do, we can tell, okay, you have here a million documents or articles, and you like really this one. And I will look through the rest of the articles, and I will look at similarity in the terms of this on this relatively high occurrence of this non-very frequently otherwise occurring words in the normal like language. And then, what is very interesting, you will really find that if you read some article or something about something, and you say, give me top 10 or top 20 most similar, and you will find out that really those are the documents which have most common contents. And this is what we call semantic search, and it is supported in SQL 2012. So if you have your table of documents, you can ask this query, give me all documents which are kind of similar with this document, or you can find out, of course, about these special words, which kind of sets are characteristics for which of the documents. I will not talk anymore about the semantic search. This is pretty cool. And actually, by default, we don't download the dictionary, but when you go into the semantic search and you want to use it, we ask you to download the latest version of the dictionary. So the dictionary may be refreshed more often than the releases of SQL Server. Okay, so now about full text search. Full text search is not new features in SQL Server. And full text search, I found out that this very, very popular feature when I was working with SQL Azure customers, because currently full text search is not supported in SQL Azure. It's supported only on the Box product. We are working on it, and next year we'll support full text search as well in Azure, but currently it's not. And when I was working with many customers who were trying to adopt SQL Azure, this was one of the top most frequent kind of blocking points when, okay, I cannot use Azure because you don't have full text search. One very interesting application was our own inside Microsoft, which we are using for donations and for charities. And you can kind of, you can search for charity by name. And I said, why you need full text search for it? Or by keyword? Why you need full text search for it? I was working with those developers, and I showed them that you can do also like predicate, and was equally fast because the database was small and everything. But then full text search has some special kind of special attributes. In full text search, for example, stemming, the words stemming means different suffixes. So it recognizes, you give some keyword, and if it gets some any kind of modifications which are kind of allowed in the language on that word, it will find all of those. Also, full text search is sensitive to dividers, you know, which words are used as dividers and which not. And that is extremely hard to mimic by using the like predicates. So they say, no, if you don't give full text search, we will not support it. So full text search is important. And we invested in 2012 in full text search performance a lot. And basically, we were given as the developers two goals. First, we'll tell you, hey, your full text search must be better than any other kind of other database vendors do full text search. And second goal was, we will give very tangible goal. We've got 350 million documents set, and set of queries, relatively simple queries. For example, give me all documents which contain this word and this word near, these two words near each other. And we're going to give a set of these queries, and we say all these queries now finish under 3 seconds against that set of documents. So we as a developer were given this goal. Now, we accomplished those goals, and now when we are in these top programs and working with the customers, and we have some observation on the customer workloads, we really see that the full text search are like 5, 10, 20 times faster than they were on previous releases. And here is some earlier measurements which we did. And so on the left graph, what you see, the QPS means queries per second. So this simple query is how many of these seconds we can issue. The green graph shows the SQL Server 2012, the code name Denali, and the gray is SQL Server 2005. Now, this was kind of one of the earlier measurements, and we observed, if you observe on the left side, it seems like on a small number of CPUs that the SQL Server 2005 is better. We, of course, observed it and fixed it, but we didn't have time to rerun the measurements yet. So on the x-axis at bottom, you have that there is a number of CPUs, and this was dual core machine, so we went all the way to 32 CPUs, means 64 cores. And here is the throughput, as I mentioned, queries per second. How many queries per second we were able to do. So this first graph on the left is when it's without doing DML, data manipulation language. So here it's only queries. There are no new documents, no updates, no deletes. On the second graph, we added to the workload, not only running the same queries, but also new documents are indexed as concurrently with these queries. And then as you see, the previous release, we were kind of almost flat. And it means those queries are blocked by the updates. Now, as you see, it's pretty dramatic improvement, and I will explain how we achieve that. So in the first place, for the right graph, as I say, when the new documents are coming, we are changing the index. Yes, so we are adding entries to the index. And okay, I'm changing it, so I cannot use it because I'm changing it, yes? So this was well, up to 2012. Now, what do we do in 2012? When I come with my query for full text search query, I look what was the version of the last update of that index which I'm using. And so we now version the every change in that index. I look at the version number and I will use that index, but I will ignore all changes which are later than this change. So concurrently with me, there might be somebody else doing changes to the index, but I'm looking at the documents, I'm looking at the index at the moment, the last document finished full indexing when my query started. So this is using versioning, which means we don't need to block anymore on the fetch. So that causes the write graph to kind of shoot up even while there are some changes and documents are coming. Now, the second big change, and we started already in 2008 working on it. When SQL Server adopted the full text search, it was completely separate engine. Actually, it was separate executable and separate DLL on the side. And there was this kind of clumsy interface between our query processing engine and this full text search engine. For example, when I asked, in my query, I will need 1,000 best matches from this, give me 1,000 best matches for this keyword from the set of documents, the full text search gave me all the documents ordered by the relevance of the keyword, and in the query processor, I chopped it off to 1,000 and I returned 1,000. Now, what we did, so we got rid of the second engine, different engine, and we integrated it all into the query processing, query optimization. So all the tricks which we are doing traditionally for relational queries, tricks like reordering of joins or pushing predicates filters as low as possible or placing aggregations in the plan in the best possible place, now are fully applicable also to these full text predicates. So if I go back to the example of this, give me top 1,000 documents, we already, when I'm performing the ranking of the documents for the relevancy, if I find I have already 1,000 better than this one, which I have, I throw it away right away. So I will never work with more than 1,000. And only trying to find better and push the worst out. So that is kind of how we do it now. And parallel query execution, that is another kind of result of bringing it close to the relational query processing, the full text search. So as a result of that, we have this big scalability and performance improvement. As example, here I have like this top N by rank, and this is this example, 1,000 document from 1 million, and when we look into how many milliseconds of CPU I need, and it basically went down almost 10 times by us to be able to push the limit 1,000 down to itself search. There is this one last very kind of interesting improvement. It has to do with building index. So you have a set of documents, and you are building brand new full text index on the document. So what do we do if you have 8 cores, for example, on the machine available to build that index? We create 8 sets of documents. We split the full set of documents to 8. Create the full text index for each of those sets, and at the end we merge those into one single index. Now, we introduced this parallelism in 2005 when we can do it parallel. Before it was running all on single thread, the parallelism, but still the merging itself was running on single thread. And the more the sets you have, the faster you will get the initial phase, and the bigger it seems to become the merge phase, yes? So as a time when, and we have more and more cores on the machines, this merge will become really like visible piece which needs improvement. And so now in 2012 we fix it, and we also then merge our like doing cascade and in parallel, that we do pairs and then kind of logarithmically merge it, and we call it parallel merge. So this is all behind the improvements in full text search. Okay, so now I will talk about the column store index. Again, we got a goal. It's kind of interesting was because, you know, every release we are trying to improve query processing by better optimization, better execution, more efficient this, more efficient that. But if you look at the history, usually it is we are improving very small set of queries by 5%, 10%, 15%. And we were given this challenge, give us something significant. We want something really significant, not like 10, 5, 15, 20%. And through some large set of workloads. So we looked around and you probably heard, and well, you heard it today, how the BI is working and compressing the information in memory, and then you can see this, you know, very fast queries and manipulation. So we looked closely at the technology, and hey, you know, we can use the kind of the Vertipack algorithms in the relational engine as well, not only for BI workloads. And basically, this led to two technologies, new technologies in 2012. One, well, we call it overall column store index, but it has two significant parts. One is the index itself that we are building, and I will explain in more details what goes into that, that this kind of different index than the classic indexes. And second part is what officially we call batch processing. I don't like much that word because I was around that batch processing was something slow outside of the engine working forever, but I couldn't persuade the younger developers that's a cool as a batch processing. It's more like vector mode query processing, but what is more than the name is important to understand how it works. And I will explain those two things. So let's look first at the, we will have demo and then I will explain how it works. Cool, very good. So, interestingly, I will be using the same database which we had here with 101 million rows. The 101 million rows. I will explain what the schema is, what the database is. So this is a company which is selling movies and renting movies. And they had 101 million purchases so far. And they had more than 1 million users. Media, those are the movies, and offers are each movie can be packaged differently, can be on different, can be on DVD or Blu-ray, or can be, and also different leases and with different contracts and so on. So we have 86,000 offers. Not so important. And that's a smaller table, daytime and movie. Now, what is my query which I'm working on? My query is find action horror and comedy sales, so these are the types of the movies, for the first 3 months of year 2007. Okay, so this will be my, so I need to look at the purchase table because there are all the sales in it. From the media table, I want only the action horror and comedy movies, and the date is a dimension table which helps me to subselect the 3 months of 2007. I will show you now the query how it looks like. So let me from here and go to my, okay, very good. So here is the, you know, you see that I'm still master, so I must run this to use this Movlia table. Oops, what is happening? Okay, very good. Now, and here is the query. Okay, here's a query. Now, I pay attention to this with index CI date. I have on the table two indexes, on the purchase table, two indexes. The CI date is cluster index, which is classic cluster index, and I have there also column store index. Normally, the optimizer will select which one to choose. If I do this hint, it must choose the row style of index. So this is how the query would be run without the column store index. And I will run the query, and I will, before that, I will clean the buffers to make sure that there is nothing in memory, that everything is fair and square, and we will look at how long the query runs. Okay? So I will execute this query, and the right bottom corner, you see the time there in seconds. Yeah, it's well visible. We are at 9 seconds, 10 seconds. Interesting thing is, we are around about 10 seconds. Well, not bad. And it's 100 million payable. This is not the newest laptop. And not the newest laptop. I don't have, solid state, it's nothing like that. So now what I will do, before I do it, anybody has a tip how fast, and it's interesting because it's every time different ratio I get. And, if anybody wants to guess, I think it's between 10 and 100 usually. Yeah. So it's always interesting to see that we'll see what number we will get here today. So I will again clean these buffers as before. Now I will remove this hint, which prevented, this hint prevented, I need the comma here, which prevented to optimize it to do its proper job. Now there are no hints, but I have the column store index. And now I will run it, I will run the query, and we'll see how long that will be. So, okay, I will run it. Oops, zero. Luckily, it shows 0 seconds. Luckily, we have this set statistics time on, and I will rerun the query, and then I will measure a time in milliseconds. So I will clean the buffers again, because now I have some good stuff in the buffers, and I will rerun the query again. Yes, without the hint means it will run fast, but I will learn how fast. And here I am, and here I look at the times. The last one is the time of the query. Okay, so about 197 milliseconds. So 10 seconds to 197 milliseconds, 50 times. It's 200 times 50 is 10,000, what is 10 seconds? Now, what is beautiful about this feature is you don't change the query, you leave the query, you only create the index. And you see here on this, it runs 50 times faster. And I will explain how it is happening. Sometimes, last time I was running, it was better, it was 75. It was great, it's only 52. Only 50 here. Now, the 50 times is a lot. Yes? Imagine you get 50 times faster machines suddenly. it's a lot. So how we are achieving that? And okay, let me go back to the presentation. Okay, we are here. So first, this kind of marketing stuff. Faster interactive query response time, easier data input, better decisions, reduce physical DB design burden. So one interesting thing, and then you will, once I explain how it works, you will see that it makes sense. We allow you to create only one column store index on the table, only one. But it can have all columns on the table. Fewer indexes, there's only one. And so you may kind of get rid of some, you do some other summary aggregates, index views. All up cubes, this is a little bit stretch. Because all up cubes, there are also some special metadata, which is very intensively used. But sometimes if you use it only for all up cubes, because you need to fast response from the data, you can really replace it by these queries running against column store. And less hardware needed, yes, of course. If you find out that all your workloads run average 5 times faster, you may delay by a year or two upgrade of the hardware. So how it works? You've seen this picture today. So this is a classic index. Classic index, I have a row. I tell which columns are key. In this case, imagine that I have C1 to C4 are keys. I order it all by this in that order, and I create so-called B-tree. B-tree at the leaf nodes, it has the index values, and on each node, I can decide to go left or right when I'm searching it for a particular value until I find the value which I need or a set of values which I need. So this is classic B-tree index. The column store index looks very differently. So at first, we chop the rows into some segments. Yeah? So here I see there's 3 segments. Now, I separate each columns. I process each column separately. And I will explain what processing I will do on each of the column, but I will not put those columns together on the disk at all. So each page which I will have on the disk, on each page of the index, will contain only one column of the table. Yes, so there's no mixing on. Now, data is not stored in sorted order. So when I'm creating this index, I don't first sort everything in any order. I take whatever is. I will be doing sorting within the segment. I will explain. But I will not do overall sorting. I will take it as it is, and I will create an index. And the index is optimized for filtering and scanning. So as fast as possible to scan it, and also for filtering, and I will explain how. Okay, so this is how we are creating the index. Actually, at the end of the presentation, there are references, and there is one paper which was a conference paper on Zygmunt a couple of years ago, when it's in more detail described about this, if you are interested, about how the algorithm works. But I will tell in nutshell. So first, when I'm now looking at the one column, I perform converting to integers. And there's some very big tricks we are doing with enumerics. I'm not going to discuss the details, but basically we end up either with 32-bit or 64-bit number instead of each column value at the end of that. And for like texts and other things which are not numerics, we create a dictionary and we enumerate that, and instead of using your texts, we will be using the numbers in that column. Okay, so this is the first step. After this step, I will end up with bunch of integers. Then we perform a row reordering. This is very interesting. This is where the Vertipack is this algorithm used, because if you have multiple columns, different ordering of may give you different results with respect to how can you compress it. And interestingly, of course, each of the segments may be ordered by different columns and different values. And so we find the optimal ordering for the segment, and then we perform further compression. So if the same, yes? Yes, let me at the end, we will have time, and I will answer that's a very good question. The question was, if I get an example when one ordering is better than another ordering, probably we have enough time, yeah, of course. I can answer it right away, the question. So I'll give you an example. So you have, for example, all employees, yes? And the column is a sex column, yes? And some male, female, yes? If I have, for example, I'm creating only 2 columns. last name and the sex. If I order it by the last name, here I will have male, female, female, male, female, male, female, and so on. Okay? If I order it by the sex, I will have at first all females and then all males in that segment. Yes, and then exactly, you know, this run length encoding under compression. Run length is value and number of repetitions. So then, if I order it by sex, I can do very well. Okay, I have in this segment of 1 million rows, I had so many thousand females and so many. I will have only basically very small information packing it. Okay, so this is an example for that. And we also we go as far as if I find out that there is very small number of values, we even kind of complete because you know, like by 2 bits you can encode 4 different values, by 3 bits 8 different values. We go as far as look in the segment how many different values are in that column, and we do even the bit compressing. So it's as compact as possible. That's kind of it. So this column store compression is a big part of that algorithm. Now, you've seen actually, interestingly, Robert was showing also some numbers, but you know, it depends which indexes I will select, I will get different numbers. I didn't have this 99.7%, I don't have here, but the you know, here, the last column gives us the ratio, the compression ratio, which we see. And what is important also to observe that, you know, we in SQL Server, we introduced ability to compress pages, and this is giving in average what we've seen on the sets which we look at 1.8 times better compression ratio than the page compression which we have, these algorithms. So now, so as I mentioned, the compression is one part of the story. The compression gives me very fast, much less IOs. I need to bring the things. And also because of I store it by column, and I create, for example, here on this table, what I had, the example, I created the column store index on all columns. But automatically, when I see that the query needs only 2 or 3 columns, I don't touch the other pages of the other columns. Yes, so automatically I read the minimal set of pages I need to read. Okay, so but as I said, that was only one part of the trick, the compression, the story. Second part of the trick is this vector or batch mode processing. Now, so when I am processing row by row, I am in my code. I look at the code and I have some row and oh, there is some decimal column, and I'm asked, okay, it's decimal what? Oh, decimal 10.3. So this is how is the value. And next row comes, and again, oh, this is decimal column. What type? Oh, 10.3. We are repeating lots of code on row after row after row. Now, this is vector processing. I'm processing a column. Okay, I'm zipping through the column. I ask all these questions once, and I go through the segment. So, therefore, I'm saving, and I will show on one specific example how much CPU I am saving. So, we should remember this: is column store, 2 parts: one the compression, and one much less CPU to process. And from that, you can get combining those two things like 50 times faster. Yes, so. I must admit that in 2012, you know, when you look at the query plan, there's a bunch of operators. Not all operators we have implemented in this batch mode or vector mode processing. Only the most important ones. And those are filter, project, hash join, and aggregation. But in the query plan, and if we have time, I can go back to that example and show you the query plan. In the query plan, you can see some operators are batch mode and some are row mode. And we have these adapters which I can switch from batch to row. You are always losing a little bit on if you need to do the conversion. So ideally, the more you have in this batch mode processing, the better you are off. And we are already working, as I mentioned, we are working on next release. Of course, we have more operators now there and all kinds of stuff. So this vector processing greatly reduces CPU time. That's the second part of it. Here's an example of reduction which we measured. Okay, so when you are performing hash join, means I'm joining two tables. Usually from the smaller table, we build so-called lookup table. And the lookup table can have two different format, and I may explain what. And now, lookup table, I create the lookup table, that's my first step of the join. And now I take the bigger table, and I take row by row, and I'm figuring out if I have a match or not. This is our join processing. So we look at the example of a hash join, and we measured, okay, I need about 600 instructions per each row process to find match, no match, and output it. When we look at the vector mode, for the batch mode, in the batch mode processing, we are using only 85 instructions per row using regular hash table. Regular hash table is that I have the hash values and potential links if there are duplicates, hash duplicates. That's how I build the table. In a case when the table is small enough and I don't have duplicates, we can build this what we call dense array, where basically the hash values are direct pointers to complex table which there are no links. So it's kind of you process it more efficiently, and then it takes only 16 instructions per row of coming. So you see the magnitude of the savings, the CPU savings which we can get on that. Okay. So, but loading new data. Okay. So, in 2012, once you create the column store index on the table, you cannot directly insert, update, or delete the table. We don't allow you to do that. But we allow you to perform the switching. So if it is, and usually it's these big tables where you are gaining the most, so fact tables which are partitioned, and you are using switch in, switch out, it all works. So this is how you can bring new rows into that. So you create the column store index on the small table outside before you bring it in. If you don't, we don't allow you to switch, of course. But I can promise you, next release of SQL Server, you can do everything. So, and besides the switching, you can also disable index, disable perform update and rebuild index. You know what the disable index, I think we introduced in 2005, is kind of basically the same as if you drop index and create index, but if you drop index and create index, you have to remember what the index was. If you disable index and enable it, you don't need to remember because we remember it in metadata. So this is the loading new data. Okay, so this was it. And now I will tell you something. Ah, it's a secret. Big secret. So I had several slides about Windows 8, and don't tell anybody. And I'm looking at it from like SQL Server point of view now. What cool is coming in Windows 8 for us? Yes. And I had to go through many obstacles to be able to present this slide. So, okay. Oh, we move differently. So first, how will SQL Server 2012 appear on Windows 8 Server? Screen. Something like this. Natural style, yep. Okay, second thing. One thing which excites us a lot is this Hyper-V. I will talk a little bit more about it in my next presentation about it's very important for the appliances and kind of consolidation and your private cloud and moving to and also later for public cloud. And it's Windows 8, so currently in Windows Server 2008, you can have maximum four virtual cores, like virtual CPU, but it's core. Because it's Windows 8, how many will be able to, 8 times 4, 32. In the maximum memory for the virtual machine in 2008 server is 64 gigabyte. How much it will be in Windows 8? Anybody knows? 8 times 64? 512. Yeah. Maximum size of a virtual disk, 2 terabytes. Easy, yes. So you will remember it. This is it. Okay. So this will come with Hyper-V in server Windows 8 next year. Yeah. So this is very cool. Now, you know about this kind of live migration. You can do virtual machines, live migration of virtual machines. And what we will be new here, what is very kind of cool for SQL Server, that you will be able to move your from one disk to different disks, and all online, like your virtual machine. And this is how it will work. So at first we start mirroring the disk, and then when it gets completely mirrored, we establish new connection, and then we switch to the other disk. So this is very important for flexibility, that we have many machines and you can move the virtual machine from one another, disk from one another, and fully online. That's very, very, very important. Or you will upgrade the hardware, how you can do it, or storage tiering that you can have faster and then go to slower next month. You know, with this sliding window scenario, also what people want to do often, that the older months on slower disks and the newer months on faster disks, and then move it around. So this will make it breeze. Okay. Now, for the box kind of Windows 8, what I see the best features that SQL Server files can be accessed using SMB 2.2, so means you can have it on remote shares and it will be all fully supported. And the performance of the SMB 2.2, what I've seen the number is fantastic. Allegedly they found there's some blocking problem on the fast on the previous releases, and they removed it, and it's extremely fast. Support for 640 cores. We are going up and up and up with number of cores and 4 terabytes memory, and SQL Server. So you know that Windows already now you can install the server core, which is without all these GUI and all these things which are usually bringing all these security fixes. That SQL Server 12 you will be able to install on the core of on the server core. So if I can summarize everything that I was talking about, we have more online operations. Remember, especially adding the non-default column. We support 15,000 partitions, and I must say we have one of the biggest set of customers who were asking for these 15,000 partitions were SAP migrations. And I learned recently that all our new SAP migrations are using more than 1,000 partitions from Oracle. More than 1,000 partitions. Fast full text, as you see, remember the curves going much faster and concurrently with updates. The column store index, as I consider as one of the coolest features in 2012, alongside with this always on. And remember there are two things contributing: compressed column store and the vector based on the batch processing. You can see 10 to 100 times, today we've seen 50, pretty faster. And SQL 2012, we are actually working, that's great advantage working at Microsoft, that we are working directly with the Windows team, and we are kind of making sure that it all works together. We are testing on Windows 8 and good performance and scalability of SQL Server is one of the release criteria for the Windows 8. So we are very, very happy about that. So you will get access to this slide deck after that, and there are some references. And I would like to thank you very much.
Thank you, Luber.